Kriyashma. Okay, V'yikra Kriyashma. Im loikar pasik. A person should recite Kriyashma. Now, notice how he's going out of order. Yesterday, we on page Lamed Hey, the last paragraph on the page. Yesterday, we learned that when it comes to Shmoyne Esrei, a person has to have kavana for the first baracha of the perish hamilas. Now he's going backwards. V'yikra Kriyashma. A person must recite Kriyashma. Now, he's passing a very big chiddush. There's a major machlokes ha-poskim. What part of Kriyashma must one have kavana? The first opinion holds it's sufficient to have kavana just the first pasuk. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's it. That's all you have to concentrate. After that, you can go on autopilot. The second opinion of the Gemara says it's not sufficient. You have to have kavana. You have to ace Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha. You have to have that pasuk as well. Alavecha. Okay, if I'm sorry, you're correct. You have to have the next two psukim until alavecha. Okay, when we're talking, you have to ace Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha. You had dvar ba'ila. Hashem Elokecha b'tzavcha yom alavecha. The first two psukim. You have to have kavana for the first two psukim. Shema and the first two psukim. The third opinion holds that you have to have kavana the entire first paragraph. Okay, the entire first paragraph. And if you do not have kavana, then lo yatsa. Lo yatsa means you are obligated to repeat the Kriya Shema, and it's as if you didn't say Kriya Shema. If you're makbid on saying Kriya Shema bizman, you should be more makbid on saying Kriya Shema with kavana. With kavana. So here he says, notice, he paskins 800 years ago, that like the first opinion, it is only necessary to have kavana for the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Do you have to have kavana, Baruch Shem, Kved Malchuso, Li'olam Vo'ed? Is that included? Not necessarily. This machlokes, Mishnah Berurah talks about it. Is that also included in the kavana of the very first pasuk? He doesn't say it. Okay, he doesn't say the first pasuk is sufficient. At least try for that. Kriyashma imloy yiviko kriyashma imloy kar pasuk rishon bekavana yikra oso balachash. Say it again. I want to say balachash because if you say it out loud, it sounds like shtei rishuyos. It is forbidden to say shma. The Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara says it is forbidden to say shma twice. In other words, you can't. There's a question of what that means. One interpretation is, you're not allowed to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why? It sounds like you believe in two gods. The first time it's God number one, and the second, the repetition is a reference to God number two. So that's apikorsis. That's what it sounds like. So it is categorically forbidden to repeat the pasuk Shema twice. So what should you do if a person says Shema and he does not have kavana, and now he has an obligation to say the Shema a second time in order to be yotzei the mitzvah? You have no choice but to say it again. But by saying it again, you're in violation of the halacha of the Gemara. You now have to say Shema twice. The solution is to say the second time quietly, belachash. Okay, everybody say please. The first Shema you say out loud. The second time you say Shema, because you don't have kavana, you recite quietly. So it should not be a violation of saying Shema twice. It's interesting that he says this interpretation, because in the Gemara says there's another answer to this question. How can you say Shema twice? The Gemara is only forbidden to say Shema twice when you say the words twice. Shema, Shema. Hashem, Hashem. Elokeinu, Elokeinu. Shema, Shema. Yisrael, Yisrael. Hashem, Hashem. Elokeinu, Elokeinu. Hashem, Hashem. Echad, Echad. That is forbidden. But to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, that is not forbidden. So the fact that he says this, that the second time that you say Shema, it must be said silently, obviously, he's coming to Paskin, he's coming to tell us that the correct interpretation of the Gemara is that if it is forbidden to say Shema twice, say the entire Pasuk, and the Gemara does not, we're not working with the answer Shema Shema Yisrael Yisrael. It is forbidden to say the entire pasuk twice. So if a person has v'shalom does not have kavana, how then will he be able to solve the problem? by saying the Shema to the Yetzer, not violating the halacha, it is by saying it quietly. This repetition should be said quietly. So one more time, Yikra Kriya Shema Lo Kar Basim Wisha B'Kavona Yikra Oysa B'Lachash Aval B'Kol Rom Lo Yikra B'Bnei Shnira Kishtei Rishuyois. It looks like a person believes in two gods. Next, Adam Shniyachol Chavon Lusal B'Kavona B'Lo Sider Shekasa B'Yat Tfila. A person does not know how to daven without a Sider. No, remember, he wrote this Sefer how many years before the invention of the printing press?
Before
the printing press was invented, how many years probably?
He wrote this 1473.
And this was written in the 1470. So this was written probably at least 200-300 years. 200-300 years before the invention of the printing press. So if you had a sitter, it was a very, very expensive item to have. Someone can write for you a siddur. The first siddur was whose siddur? Of Amram Goin. The first siddur, you know who the first siddur really is? I heard a very good share on this from someone from YU, Yeshiva University, online. He gave a share of the history of the siddur. It was really like what you would call today responsa. Shailos Tshuvos, shut. Someone sent a she'ela to Rav Amram Goin. What should I daven every morning? What should I daven? So if Amram Goin wrote a letter back, he wrote an answer. She'ela uteshuva. You know, in the library, you have different. You have the section, the Gemara section, the Rishonim section, the Achronim section, and you have a section always she'elois uteshuvais. The Siddur was part of the section of the she'elois uteshuvais. Someone asked a question to Rav Amram Goin. What should I recite as the nusach for davening? He wrote back an answer. Here's what you should say. You should say this bracha, this bracha, this bracha. He basically wrote out a makeshift siddur. And that became very popular. Everyone took this teshuva that he wrote and they photocopied it. they reproduced it. And that became the first siddur, the simra, the siddur of Rav Amram Goin. Here, so he's writing this not that much later. Okay, maybe 200 years later, 300 years later, the Sefer Chasidim is writing that if you do not know the Nusach HaTfilah by heart, and you need a siddur, so what should you do? V'chein Adam Soveya She'eino Yochol Chavein Birchas HaMozan. It's very interesting what he says. A person had a good meal. If you had a good meal, it's not possible to have kavana, you'll fall asleep. Okay, if a person is sated, you had a good meal, it's very hard to daven Shmona Eshrei. You cannot have kavana even if you had a siddur. She'ed Yochol, here he says, L'chavin birchas ha-mozoin. So what should you do? Yikra b'sefer she'kosev boy birchas ha-mozoin. So therefore, you have no choice but to read it from the text because your mind is not. You're not going to be able to properly concentrate from memory when you're not in a proper frame of mind, and you need to read it from a booklet. Im lo yispal bekavana beispal belachash yichavin liba kish kesheshliach tzibur mispalel v'yoymar kol teva imoy. Another halacha: if a person does not have kavana when he davened belachash, I guess he means. Now, the previous halach, he taught us that if you don't have kavanah in the first bracha, you should repeat the entire Shmona Esrei. I guess he means here is he can't even do that. The next best thing is you to follow along with the Shaliach Tzibur, answer Amen, and you yoytzei the Tzvila. Okay, next halacha. Im yipolei be'einecha al oysa nechama megamgigim b'loshin v'koyrim l'ches hei. Ule shin samach, ule kuf tes, ule reish dalit. So here we have over here a person comes to a shul and the shliach tzibur does not know how to read. Okay, he pronounces a ches as a hey as a ches. Why? Obviously, ches is a hes.
Like the
Hungarian. Okay, ule shin. That's very easy. All of us do this. Uleshin samach. How many people know how to differentiate today between a sin and a samach? Very few, if any. Can you do it?
I once met Taimani.
Taimani
said he was an expert in pronunciation. So I said to him, How do you differentiate?
Samach and Asin, yeah.
He says he didn't know.
He didn't know.
Wow.
Even the Taimoni, who says he claimed he knew how to differentiate, did not know how to differentiate between a sin and a samach. Okay, a ches and a hey, most of us, we're pretty much, we can do. Even though, obviously, there is a ch and a ha. Okay, I guess we think we know. Maybe we don't know. We think we know, we don't know anything. Ula kuf tes. To us, it seems pretty simple, right? A kuf and a tes is a very different sound. So I'm not sure what he means. Ula reish dalid. Now, this I think what he means over here, the reish dalid, is due to the fact that they did not have print. There was no printing. They didn't have books. He's writing this at a time when there were no sefarim. So the few people that were lucky to have a sefer, when you look at it on paper, a resh and a dalit, they didn't know the difference. The difference, the nuance between the point on the top was so slight, especially when it was handwritten, led to many people making mistakes and pronouncing the letter resh as a dalit, thinking that it's not that they knew how to
make. That's the problem with ches and a hey,
same idea. Right, must be the same idea. It appears that these mistakes in pronunciation is not because they did not know how to pronounce the difference. They didn't know what the letter was. And because there were no printed books, it was few and far in between to get a manuscript, there were very common errors made in making a mistake in thinking that it's not chesed, it's cheser. Because when you look at the piece of paper, not everyone was educated, and you look on the manuscript, it was handwritten, you know, you don't see the difference. So people began to pronounce words in the Nusach HaTfilah incorrectly, not because they did not know how to differentiate phonetically. It's because they just did not know the correct spelling of the word, because they only had very few printed documents that were handwritten. And you know, essentially this today is very true in OCR. Today, you know, everything today, all of the old books, Otzer HaChochma has taken, I don't know, what is the number, 60,000 books? How many? 80,000 books. 80,000? 90,000 books. They're already up to 90,000 books have been scanned in by the computer and are available by typing. So when they do the OCR, the optical character recognition, OCR stands for optical character recognition. The computer scans in the letter. It analyzes the letter based upon a very sophisticated algorithm. And it converts this letter into a character. A character which you can copy and paste, and you can search. You can do a search to define where it's written. There are so many errors with all of the sophistication of the algorithms and people breaking their heads over the computer the whole day to do a good OCR, yet the Dalid and the Reish is still a casualty, is still a major casualty. The Hey and the Ches are still major casualties. And know what's the worst? What's the pits? Quotation marks. Quotation marks, commas, periods. It is a disaster. Have you ever had the unpleasant experience of doing OCR, trying to do OCR, and you have to edit, you have to very meticulously review what the computer has done, and invariably it's going to batch up your quotation marks and your commas, your periods, semicolons, dalids, reishes. This is a nightmare. Okay, today there's a lot of stuff there. There's some very good apps, some very sophisticated apps for your smartphone that do wonders for OCR. You just take your app, you press the button, it takes a picture, and then it gives you the ability to zoom in what part of the text you want OCR, and in a matter of moments it converts it into text. Hit and miss. Sometimes it's really good, and sometimes what? Yeah, they have AI. It's all AI. It's all artificial intelligence. By the way, you know who invented this? You know where this all started? It all started with Sifrei Torah. It all started with Sifrei Torah back in the early '80s. In the early '80s, all the geisha stuff out there, they beat them. They wanted to check Sifrei Torah if they're written, if there are no spelling mistakes. The first, one of the earliest versions of OCR was invented in the early 80s for checking Sifrei Torah. Photocopy of Sefer Torah, you take that photocopy and you put it into a computer, the computer is as big as this room, and they wrote code to analyze the tsura of the letter, to turn the entire photocopy into text, and then to analyze if all 305,000 plus letters are there in the right order. Okay, today they have in every language in the world there is OCR and even handwriting. Okay, there are some very expensive programs that can take handwriting, your handwriting, and they can figure out what you meant to say. Let's go further.
What's
the definition of OCR? OCR stands for optical character recognition.
Even the Sefer Torah was checked by computer. There is found mistake inside.
Yes, there are always even in the OCR is not always correct. And the OCR makes mistakes, and it's correct. We once had over here Rabbi, what was his name? Michaels. Do you remember that? A couple of years ago, Michaels came down and he gave us a demonstration how to check a Sefer Torah through OCR. On the market, there are, I think, at least three, he went through, there are three major popular programs, pieces of software that have been developed by major companies just for this purpose of checking Sifrei Torah. He told us each one has its benefits, each milos, and each sofer they use one of them, what they prefer. He likes a particular piece of software, and he demonstrated to us. He showed us. He demonstrated how it works. It's very, very fascinating, very, very sophisticated how it works.
I noticed in the Torah, though, the yud and the vav. The vav, and you see in print, it's very low to the bottom, but in the Torah writing, it doesn't always go to the bottom.
If the vav goes a drop too long, then it's puzzle.
Right.
If the yud... The only difference between the yud and the vav is the length of the extension. If it goes a drop too long, it turns into a vav. If it's too short, it's a yud. And this is one of the few examples where you ask a child. The only one that can make the determination, people make a mistake, they don't know the halach. They think every time you have a shal in Sefer Torah, you ask a child. 99.9% of the time when you have a shal in Sefer Torah, you don't ask a child. You ask the rabbi. It's either kosher or not kosher. There's nothing to discuss. The only time you ask a child is if you have a letter, and the letter can be either one or two letters. It can either be if the leg goes down, drop too far, it's a vav. If it does not go down that far, it's a yud. There is no rabbi or computer that can make that determination if this is a yud or a vav. It all depends upon what the average person perceives it to be. Everything is there. It's just a drop too long. For this, you ask a child.
Why a child?
Why? Because the average person has negias. The average guy... The average guy, he knows too much. He looks at the word, it's vayidaber. He knows it's vayidaber. So he knows that it's a yud. He's right away influenced by the context, by the environment. Even if you'll go and you'll cover up the vav and the next letters, he'll still figure out what's going on. The mind is very sophisticated, and he will, or maybe he just wants to go home already. He's tired. He knows that if he says that it's the wrong letter, he's going to be stuck here in shul for another 20 minutes. So he'd rather go home, so you can't trust an adult. A child has no clue what's going on. So the child, he asks the child, he's innocent. Innocence of the child will tell you what the letter is. But that's, you know, it's very rare. It's very, very rare to have a situation where you're asking a child what the letter.
In the first grade, I've sent that a few times. I mentioned it. My Rabbi Solo sent me with a guy. I thought these people were stupid that they didn't know the letter.
I love
bet and kaf. Yes. Bet and kaf today, it's not so much noigea, because we write a beis with a leg at the end. We write a beis. We once had a discussion. We extend the beis further. So, but me'ikar, I think you don't need that extension. You're right. Let's go further. Let us go further. So here he's writing something very, very fascinating. Over here you have people over here that make mistakes. You come to shul, and people are making mistakes. They're not pronouncing the words correctly. Okay, their pronunciation is incorrect for various reasons. There may be either the ches and the hey, the shin and the samach, the kuf and the tes. either because the way they're written, the way they are pronounced. Ein mispalim eich mispalim or eich karen batayra. They make mistakes in how they pray or how they read the Kriya Satayra. The Oymrim, when they say the Oymrim Davar Shabbi Kedusha, or in any matter of Kedusha, Kaddish, Kedusha, Birchas HaMazon, there are people that you are relying upon. I don't know how to bench. Can you please do me the favor and recite Birchas HaMazon on my behalf? I will answer Amen. And these people, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to pronounce the words. Kishmagim Linaf Sheinu, Chikisa. When they come to the words Linaf Sheinu, Chikisa, it yearns. So they say, instead of Chikisa, they say with a chaf, with a tes, right? Chotisa. Hikisa, hit, to hit.
Hikita is waiting.
To Chikisa means, with a ches means to yearn. With a hey means, Hikisa means to hit. Hit. So Nafshenu, you have smitten our souls. Other nonsense, okay? All different words which turn into nonsense. Loi nimtsu mecharfim umegatfim. Does it not mean that they are blaspheming Hashem or blasphemy cursing? When you say the words with the wrong pronunciation in different examples, he's giving one example, hikisa versus chikisa. So this is a blasphemy. Al tisma al hachefetz. Don't. So he says something, he's very generous. Al tisma al hachefetz. Don't get carried away and make a scene and insult the Baal Tefillah and the Baal Kriya. Let it go. Let it go. Ki boireinu asheru boichen libois eina shoyal. Hashem is not asking questions. Hashem, let it happen.
But aren't there cultural differences in pronunciation?
Some, yes. The Teimonim, Sfardim, Hasidim, yes. But here we're not discussing those cultural differences. We're discussing situations which, even according to their culture, it's dead wrong. Okay, so this fellow does not belong at the Amud. This fellow does not belong at the Bima reading. So he says something very generous. He says, Al Tisma Al Achefetz. It's an expression from Koheles. Don't get carried away. Don't walk out of shul. Don't huff and puff. Get carried away. He's not asking questions. He's not coming and making macha. The only thing Hashem wants from man is sincerity, authenticity. Listen, it's not this fellow's fault. He's a tinuk shenishba. He did not get a Jewish education. What do you want from him? Today, someone would write this, they would ban it. This whole Sefer Hasidim, from beginning to end, we put in Cherem. It's the only reason why he had Mazel. Mazel's Mokoim Zman Lashon. He wrote it before, in the right time. That's why we have it today. If someone would write something like this today, no way, he wouldn't survive a day. He wrote this, he says, the guy made a mistake. Let him make a mistake. Gesunte hate. Let him make a mistake.
Because people were more tolerant because they didn't have Siddur
and Mitzvah. It's incredible what he says over here. It's off the charts. V'chein oitzma kodim pesukim d'zimra b'kol ram v'unuim unim zemer. They recite the pesukim d'zimra with a beautiful melody, a beautiful voice. V'einam yoidim apesukim v'oibim mitos. They say ridiculous things. They say the words that come out of their mouth are embarrassing. V'oibim mitos tefilosam v'zmirosam miska. And they say mitos. Doesn't matter. Tefilasam uzmiroisam miskabel kireach nichoyach. Vegam hakadosh baruch hu someach olaf simcha gedoyla. Unbelievable. V'yomer kamuhu mezamer lefanai lefi daito. And Hashem says, look how beautiful this person's prayer is according to what he understands. V'al zenemar v'digloi olai ahava. What's digloi? Digloi normally the pshutoi shalomikru means banner. The banner, his banner is love. But the Gemara here makes a drash. Digla means to skip. Or it means mi'ilosai. It means, like, medal means he skipped half the davening. He skipped half the davening. He missed all the words. Or he says it, mi'ilosai means his error. Degel, he's translating it loosely to mean, I'm not sure the shayrish, how it comes to it, mi'ila. The error that this person has made relating to his prayer to Hashem is ahava. Hashem loves it. The mishpat loy yimal piv, in mishpat Mitarga. So here is how. Here's he. I'm sorry. Here's he says the source. The word Yimal Piv. The word Yimal. Okay, in justice, he has not committed a crime, mi'ilah. The targum for the word yimal is degel. Mitargiminen lo yad gil pumeh, his mouth did not make a mistake. So we see that the Aramaic translation of the word mi'ilah means degel. Now we can go back to the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, v'digloy olai ahava. It means it's an Aramaic word written in Shir HaShirim, which means his mistake. His mistake, his transgression in the eyes of Hashem is still an expression of love. So he, now let's go further, let's go over a little bit further, then we'll come back. I want to tell you a few things about this. Maisa, the Kohen Gadol, Shoye B'Poyresh, Poyresh, Kappa, V'Oimer, Yishme Decho. Instead of the Yishme Recho, he's giving Klal Bracha. May Hashem beat you up. May Hashem destroy you. Shmad. Shmad. Instead of guard you. V'yashab chacham echad ve'aviroi milifnei ha'teva lefisha any room we moved him. He said, Koyein, don't you dare ever, ever step up to the platform to bless the Jewish people. You're not blessing us, you're cursing us. You're saying, Yish midecha, Hashem should destroy you. That it's a, you make a mistake. Yachzirenu yeonesh badover al koch. The lo yachzirenu. I think what it means over here, the words he should not take him back. Ki lo yachzirenu, that he should not tell the person to step down. Don't take him. Return him to his place. Meaning, don't remove him from his service. And yeonesh badover al koch. And I think what he means to say, I'm not sure how it looks to perish.
Whoever corrects
about Karev. Okay, well, I'm going to come back. Wait. Give me a second. Let's just finish what it is, and then we'll discuss that. You're very good. Let me come back in one moment. Let's just finish what it says here. Let's just figure out the translation of his words. It says over here that he saw in the Shemaim, Ki lo yach zirenu. I think what he means is, you have to put a comma after the word yach zirenu. They showed him in Hashemayim that what he's doing is wrong. Do not tell this Kohen to that he should be choizer, that he should return to his seat in the Beis HaKnesses and not ascend the platform. Don't do that. And if you do that, ye'onesh ba'dover al-koch, in heaven they will punish you for telling the Kohen to step down. Because even though the Kohen does not know how to pronounce the word, and even though what the Kohen is saying is a klala, it's not a klala in the mind of the Kohen, it's the Kohen's ignorance. So he's not held accountable. It's not his fault. He does not know how to say Yish Me Recha. It's not his fault.
So
he doesn't know better. Yes, of course. That would be the ideal thing. But let's say you teach him privately and he just doesn't get it. Okay, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Some people, that's it. They only know one way. They only know one way, and there's nothing you can possibly do to train him, to teach him how to pronounce the word correctly. And he's saying a word which is a curse. So should you have him removed from the platform? So he says that this rabbi felt that the halacha is he should be removed. They showed him, doesn't say this, all the mystical things here, that he was mistaken. If it's not his fault, he does not know better, and he has no bad intent, so let him say it. Let him say the word the way he knows how to say it, and just forget about it. Shalom al Yisrael. Now, what?
And in the future, put him in the back row.
What do you mean the future? The future, obviously, what he means to say is try privately to teach him how to say it correctly. But if it's a dead end, in the future, let him. Don't ever tell him not to step down. Permit him to be the Kohen who recites Birchas Kohanim and pronounce the words incorrectly. Now, the obvious question is, okay, the Sefer Hasidim wrote this 800 years ago. Is this the halacha today? What do you want to say?
Don't we learn that if a person makes a mistake, he just don't feel that it's a bit similar to him, and if a chazan makes a mistake, it's a bit similar for the seaboard?
So l'choira, that only applies in a situation where you know how to say it correctly, and you slip. I know how to pronounce the word correctly. I slipped. That's a bad sign. But if I don't know how to say the word correctly to begin with, this is the only way I know how to say the word, and I have good intent, that's not called a bad simon. That's not a bad simon. Hashem looks at your heart.
That means you don't know how to daven.
You don't know how to daven, that's right. But the person is sincere. We just read what it says. Hashem has HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Samech Alav Simcha Gidoyla. Okay, now, this is extreme things. Halacha l'maisa, when you go into Beis HaKnesses, you don't see this to be the custom. Now, let's explain. First of all, there are many things that have to be said over. First of all, you have to understand that today, Baruch Hashem, we have yeshivas. And there's very little excuse in most situations for people not reciting the words correctly. There's very little excuse. You can't go say to a person who gets up and goes through the Chazar Sashats and his rate of accuracy is 60%, that's just acceptable. Because he doesn't know better. What do you mean know better? Did you go to Yeshiva Ketana, Yeshiva Gedoyla? Why are you different than anyone else? If everyone else in the shul can do it, so why are you different? Today, rightfully so, this is an argument you can make, it's not accepted. Because since everyone today, and I'm not talking about a person that didn't go to yeshiva, you have a person that walks off the street, who unfortunately did not grow up in a Jewish community and it's not his fault. I'm not discussing that. That's a whole different story. Let's discuss people amongst us, amongst Achein Lubinei, amongst our Chevra, and you have a guy that wants to dive a Mincha Ma'ariv, whatever, Mincha Shachris, wants to be the Baal Kriya, and Mamish doesn't know how to read. And he went through the system. You can't go take this out and say, listen, look what it says in Sefer HaChassidim, and it says, I have good Kavana, and let me do it.
You're talking when he's a
Chiyuv? Yes, even when he is a Chiyuv. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have a Tzibur, and the Tzibur is accustomed every single day to recite the davening correctly, and a fellow who does not know how to read the words makes demands that he is a Chiyuv, and he has the same education as part of the same community, let him learn how to spend the time to learn how to read properly. I don't believe today, the times that the Sefer Chassidim are dealing with, you have to appreciate, are very different times. There was a very big difference between Talmidei Chachamim and your average person. The Talmidei Chachamim were malachim, angels. They knew Kol HaTorah Kula. But the common man barely knew how to read. There was no system of education. The system of education was very, very poor. There were no printed books. There was poverty. It was a different world. So the standards that he is referring to are very, very different than the standards we have today. It's not something that you have a right to extrapolate and apply today, Bizman Azeh, when we have very high standards. And it's not fair to people who have done their homework, have gone through the effort to learn how to read and to properly daven in a dignified way for the tzibur, to allow a person who does not know how to read to get up in front of a tzibur who does know how to read properly to do this. Now, in a situation where it does happen beyond your control, to what degree are you obligated? Is it proper to embarrass him publicly, to correct him, and to have him step down when it already is in progress? So this is a very big problem, and it's a very big difference of opinion. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, I think the Rambam holds you're not allowed to correct. You're not allowed to correct. You let the guy get up there, make him, and you already get the guy up there, you're not allowed. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch says, no, you are allowed to correct. You're getting up to lane, you're accepting upon yourself b'zionis. That's what it is. If you get up to lane,
the rule is that if you're not willing to lane, yes, someone else is willing to, yes, lane, you have to suffer his mistake.
Okay, it all depends. There really is no rule. It all depends upon the tzibur. Generally, in our community, the assumption is if you're getting up to daven for the amud, if you're getting up to lane, generally, It's not absolute, but generally, by stepping up to the Amud, you are making a statement, Rabbi Sai, I am moichel on my kavod, and I'm willing to accept criticism. That's the general rule of thumb. I accept, I realize I'm going to lane. I realize that I may make mistakes. I may make mistakes. And the tzibur here would like to have a perfect laning. And by you correcting me, I will be embarrassed. I will be embarrassed. By me accepting upon myself this role of the Baal Kriya or the Baal Tfila, I hereby, I'm telling you, I'm moichel on my covet. That is the general rule. However, being moichel on bizyonos, I'm only moichel on, you know, we want to say bizyonos, I'll put it on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm moichel on my bizyonos level 6. Level 6. I'm not moichel in 7, 8, 9, and 10. So if I make a mistake, no one has the right to go and take a bucket of water and pour it over my head. Okay? That you don't have a right to do. Yeah, no one has a right to go with mama, you know what I mean. You have a right to correct me in what's a normal way of correct. You don't have a right to be mivas. And also, I'll tell you another thing. Once you get to a point where you make so many mistakes, let's say a guy, he makes another mistake. Once you get to a point where you make so already, on both sides, the tzibur, it's their duty to call it quits. It's too bad for you. So the tzibur will not be yoytze kriya satoira. So you won't be yoytze kriya satoira. What every mitzvah deraisa you did, everything you did perfectly. And I'll tell you a very good example to this. I told you this already a few times. I went to Lakewood. It's a Meritic story that in the Rav, in the Lakewood, in the very hush of its tzibur. So I was there. I went to visit my brother, and we were going to daven in this shul. My brother davens, and my brother said to me, "Oh, by the way, you should know that we're having a bar mitzvah this Shabbos. There's a bar mitzvah in the kehillah. It's a big kehillah, and you should just want to tell you that there's a bar mitzvah. And I heard the bar mitzvah boy already laying on Monday or Thursday." And I want to let you know, I don't think you're going to be yoytze a perfect, over-the-top Kriya Satoira. The Shabbos. So if you have a Hakpada on the yoytze Kriya Satoira 100%, you should know, maybe you should dive in somewhere else this Shabbos. So I said to my brother, first of all, I'm not so makbid. Number two, listen, you meet the wrong guy, I'm not makbid on anything, whatever. I'm not so religious. Number two, You have. But what about everyone else here? I see these are serious people here. So, well, the rabbi here has a rule, and the rabbi's rule is, bar mitzvah boys, you don't correct, no matter what, and even there are bar mitzvah boys that are on the fence. The rabbi will not let every bar mitzvah boy lane. Will not let everyone lane. If a boy mamish can't really well, but every so often we know there are bar mitzvah boys. You've given bar mitzvah lessons, you understand. There are boys that are nishtahi nishtaher. They're good. They're good enough. If they only would just concentrate a little bit more and apply themselves a little bit more, they can do a perfect job. But just sometimes you just can't get the kid. You can't squeeze them enough to do it. You know, that's what happens. I never tried this. You squeeze them as much as you can go. And the parents, I once had a story, I was squeezing a kid, really, I was squeezing him out. And the father said to me, Atkan, I see you've done very good, you're pushing him, but I think you're getting to the point, I don't want you to push, I think you should have been pushed a little bit more. The father didn't want me to push him anymore. Okay, it's his call. It's his child. I think the child should have been pushed to draw more. And he said, call it quits. The child did a pretty good job. Okay, pretty good job what the kid did. So, but you know, they make mistakes. So the rabbi's policy is you don't correct them. Even though you're dealing here with some serious people. These are people that are B'nai Torah. Real stark people over here. The rabbi said, it's my shul. You don't like it? Go daven somewhere else. I'm the boss here. Okay? Don't, bar mitzvah boy, no corrections. Oh, he said the wrong word. He said v'yishmedecha, parashas nasai. So let him say v'yishmedecha. Good for him, he said. You feel you weren't yoytzei? Your problem. You know this in advance, so go daven somewhere else. Guess what? Everyone davens there. No one runs away. They got used to this. The rabbi has the rabbi's policy. They don't even announce. Right. That's a very good policy. But you have to have someone very good at the beam. But this is a very good policy. It's a fantastic policy. But you know, you should know something. It's not so easy to find a person that by the bima that really catches all the mistakes. It's interesting. You think it's so easy? Okay, the teacher, right? By mitzvah boy, the teacher is there. You know, it depends. You know, every situation is different. You can't generalize. There's so many variables. I've seen so many different things. It depends.
He gives the boys, whoever's teaching the bar mitzvah, they have a rehearsal. Rabbi Teitz gives them a fahar about 6 weeks before the bar mitzvah.
Right. They all do. Everyone does.
Sometimes he says, I'm sorry.
Right. Not every boy, but many times a boy, he reaches the threshold. He's good. He can do it. But you know what happens. There's a certain...
They're talking only about consonants. How about if the vowels are
wrong? Everything's the same. It's all the same. It doesn't make a difference. Milel, Milera. A mistake is a mistake. Makes a difference. You change the parish. Hamilas. Ba, ba. You say Yishmed. There's no difference in saying ba, ba. And saying Yishmedeka, Yishmedech. A mistake is a mistake. Question is, are you going to correct the mistakes? I wasn't here to create Satira. No, so you were in Yitzhak. This word of Kriya Satira. It's an amazing look. It's rooted in the Sefer Hasidim. It's Beferish. You're better than the Sefer Hasidim. You're better than the Sefer Hasidim. Holier than the Sefer Hasidim. No one's holier than the Sefer Hasidim. He said it's good. Good enough. Today we definitely have very high standards. Baruch Hashem, Achshrei Dorei, Chasdei Hashem, Baruch Hashem. People are humble. They're willing to be meichel on their kavod. Elaine, gesunde hate, come get me. When I'm just the average guy. I get a chance late once in a while. Adarabba, correct me. I don't know what my chrys. You should make my mistakes. You should be right. Correct me. I don't care. You may make mistakes. Gesunde, you correct me. Today it's no big deal. We don't consider it to be busy bizyonis to correct a person who makes mistakes. Big deal. It's fine. You're meichel and you're covered. But to a degree. On the other hand, there are people that are embarrassed. There has to be a balance. A balance. It's not etched in stone. Every single word has to be perfect. V'chulu, v'chulu. L'chatchila, there are high standards. Davening for the Amud. If a guy can't daven for the Amud, I'm sorry. You can't daven for the Amud. That's pretty much what the standard is. If a guy can daven, he makes a mistake. He already got up there. You can't hold him back. And he maneuvered to get up there and daven. So he slurred a few words. What are you going to do about it? For the future, try to figure out a solution for the future. But b'shas ma'isa, masha hoya, kvar hoya, live with it. Yeah.
I think in the Sheba Kaim Berlin, they don't let the bar mitzvah boy lane.
They don't let the bar mitzvah there, they don't let the lane. They don't let the lane there. A lot of shuls, they don't let lane because there, it's totally out of hand. They do it because there, Baruch Hashem, every single week, there's another bar mitzvah. Mamish, you have a few, you have multiple, you have a very big place, so then you have no control. But you have a yeshiva where they have bar mitzvah three times a year, four times a year, big deal, so you let the boy lane, this, that. But every single week it's going to be a struggle, every single week, then that's a whole different story.
Bar mitzvahs are at 83.
What? All right, we're out of time. We're going to continue. We're up to the next paragraph, okay? We're up to Amispalo next week. Okay, let's take a short break. What? Kid. He ruined it for everyone.
He skipped words and everything else. Then he stopped. Next week, I know it's about Kurosan next week.